this is Trevor Rabin, and you're listening to the Yes Podcast.
Mark is with me now, and we're going to talk about why did Yes want Jeff Downes again around 2010, 2011 time. Hello, Mark.
Hello there, Kevin. How are you doing today?
Not too bad. What about yourself?
Pretty good. A nice day today. The weather is going to be favourable today and all week. It looks like we're going to get it even to plus 12, if you can believe that.
Oh, blimey. You seem to be a bit further behind us because we are heading towards snow, heading towards a lot of snow, but only in the north of the country. And I'm away next week. I'm going down to Devon, which is the opposite end of the country. So I should miss all the snow, fingers crossed. So that's good for our little holiday. All right, then. So this is the first part. Why did Yes want Jeff Downes? This is part one, where we talk about what the situation was within the band at the time and look for some clues and discuss a bit about why Jeff was welcomed back into Yes before the Fly From Here album was all put together. And the first thing I've got is a copy of All My Yesterdays, Steve Howe's autobiography, which goes into the state of the band at the time. And this was around 2010, as I say. So he says here, there were problems developing within Yes as we toured. I, for one, thought Chris was driving me and everyone else totally crazy. By the time we got to Paraguay, so they were doing their short South American tour we're talking about, I needed to have a long and desperate conversation with tour manager Paul Silveira, I think that's how you pronounce his name, about whether I could go on working with Chris. The level of his bass guitar on stage had been a bone of contention for as long as I could remember, but in his excitement, he was now completely blasting us off the stage. His performance antics also became more pronounced. At the time, the sound coming from the large PA behind the drums was also becoming impossible to work with. The bass level particularly affected the front of house, as did all the other instruments going into the drum microphones from his PA. Audio heaven? No, it was audio chaos. And then he tells a little story. Off stage, things had got rather icy too, in particular when we finished in Mendoza. My hotel room was unfortunately next to Chris's, and the walls were paper thin. I could hear him speak very loudly on the phone when he was talking about me in a most uncomplimentary way to Trevor Horn. Oh dear, I thought this is going to be a bad situation. I immediately went next door to his room and took issue, letting him know how disappointed I was. I don't often get really mad, he says, but I was furious. The next day we all left to go home, my ears still ringing, as they usually did after a tour. It invariably took about a week to heal after the barrage of sound. And then, last little bit, and then, very interestingly, Jeff Downes and I, he says, flew straight to St. Petersburg in Russia for a one-off Asia show in December. What could be finer? Well, being back in London on the 8th of December was certainly finer. And he goes on there. So, yeah, things not great between Chris and the rest of the band, it seems, at that time. Although he doesn't mention Oliver Wakeman specifically there, but when we've spoken to Oliver, he's always said that his attitude towards it all was just to get on with stuff and let other people do the arguing. But it doesn't sound like it was a very happy time to be in this band at that time.
Yeah, which is sort of strange if you think about it, because, you know, usually when members disappear from a band, you would usually think that the stories would be about them. Like when you were going to read this part, I was expecting to hear something about, you know, Oliver was going nuts, you know, he was drinking 24 beers and, you know, smashing things. Like, you know, yeah. Not to say that that's how he is, but, you know, like you hear those kind of stories and then you understand then later why these people were replaced. Now we have Oliver leaving, Jeff coming in, and during that time it was Chris Squire that was the issue, which is so odd. You know, it's like, well, then why did you get rid of Oliver then if that was the, you know, if your bone of contention was with Chris? Now, of course, getting rid of Chris would have been probably next to impossible. It would have sooner been Steve getting tossed than Chris, to be honest, I'm pretty sure.
Yes, that's right. So it was a pretty unhappy camp at the time from those points of view. But at least they were coming together to work on this album. And as we know from Oliver himself, he did quite a bit of recording and writing for this album, which eventually turned into Fly From Here. But I thought it was interesting that Howe went off with Asia. And of course, that's Howe and Downs, that combination there. And it was, so it wasn't just Trevor Horn, perhaps, who was keen on getting Downs back into Yes at this point. Obviously, that was the catalyst for it actually happening, and we'll come on to that in a moment. But certainly Howe was very close to Downs in Asia and working with him, you know, consistently and yeah. having a great time with Asia. And it strikes me always, I don't know, of course, but it strikes me always that the personalities within Asia were a little easier to deal with than Yes's personalities.
Yeah, well, I mean, there's no arguing that Chris is a very larger-than-life character, and not only in personality-wise, apparently, but also musically, of course. I mean, the man plays his amps, you know, at ear-bleeding levels, apparently, on stage. So that tells you a little bit about him. But you know what? To be honest with you, I've been in a few bands, and I've seen lots of bands and have toured and seen lots of situations, and very rarely have I ever experienced a band where the onstage volume is quiet. So I don't know. I mean, this is, I sometimes get the feeling that Steve Howe's a little too touchy about these things. I mean, you know, I don't know if in Asia he's made some sort of mandate where it simply cannot be louder than this volume level on stage. But, you yeah. know, most bands are loud on stage. Yeah. You know, I mean, because first of all, you unless your drummer is playing with brushes,
yes,
then they're going to be loud yeah. on yeah. stage, okay? And you have to kind of keep up with that too, right?
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I mean, I'm not here to finger point at Steve Howe or anything, but I sometimes get the feeling maybe he got in Jeff now to have somebody on his side, maybe. Maybe yeah. Jeff agrees with him, maybe saying, you know, Chris, it's just way too loud. You know, maybe somebody to help kind of have Chris see reason, maybe.
Yeah, yeah. It's fascinating, though, isn't it? Because Oliver Wakeman was very, very committed to this album, the Fly From Here album, turned into Fly From Here at the time. And as we know, he eventually brought the pieces back that he was working on to form From a Page, which is a great work as well. And clearly they had done a lot of work on it in this, you know, proper Howe and Squire and White parts on that album, which were recorded at the time. And on the great Wikipedia, we've got some more information about the sort of path to getting Jeff Downs back in. And as Oliver said to us when he spoke to us on the podcast, it was, of course, Oliver Wakeman who suggested that Yes contact the producer and former Yes frontman Trevor Horn to come and produce. Initially, the idea was for him just to produce We Can Fly, as it was called at the time. So just the song that both he and Downs wrote when they were in the band, or at least yeah. it was worked on, and Yes played it live at least once when he was in the band. And this was a great way to link this new, brand new album back to what had happened before, was to include this song which almost made its way onto Drama, but then didn't in the end. So certainly Oliver had no problem with Trevor Horn coming in. He wanted him to come in, and I know that Benoit David wasn't very happy with the band taking the decision to self-produce this album. And that's often not gone very well, although at times it has gone very well for Yes, for example, going for the one that was self-produced. But he certainly didn't feel that it was going the right way. And so definitely they wanted to get someone back in. And you can't get a better producer to come back in, someone who knows the band inside out, as Trevor Horn.
You know, when I hear stories like this, I sometimes get annoyed because, you know, Oliver here gets this great idea, you know, recommends, you know, or suggests, let's bring Trevor Horn back in. And the very person that he, you know, supports to bring back in the band is the very person who, you know, works on getting him tossed. And that's the only thing that kind of, you know, excuse my language, pisses me off when I hear this, because, you know, instead of being thankful that, you know, he got recommended to come back and work with Yes by, you know, Oliver, you know, he does all these little tricks and decides to get him out of the band and bring Jeff in permanently. Like, just what, you know, this is what you hear those sayings, you know, good guys finish last, because, you know, Maybe he should have said nothing and just said, you know, well, I don't know what to do. It's your band. I'm just playing keyboards. Mm. You know, because, I mean, you know, Trevor is one of these guys that throughout history, from whatever I've read stories about him or heard about him, a lot of people that he worked with don't like him.
Mm.
And I'm wondering, starting to wonder why. Is it because he does these little, you know, schemes that he likes to pull? You know, I've never heard of a producer who's gotten sued as many times as he has. You know, I mean,
yeah.
So, you know, Trevor Horn might be a great producer and maybe a great, you know, mixer and this and that. But, you know, as a person, he's something that I would be leery to work with personally, to be honest with you. But in any case, sorry for my little tirade there.
That's
but,
all right.
You know, I just figured that, you know, when I hear stories like that, I almost find it appalling because I really enjoyed the Oliver time in the band.
Yes.
I thought that live, they were fantastic. No matter how loud Chris's bass was on stage or whatever, some of the videos that I saw from that tour were really fantastic that they did.
Yeah.
So,
yes.
That's my piece.
And he certainly fitted in, you know, he had the genetics to fit in from his father, of course, but he did seem to fit in very, very well to the whole aesthetic of the band at the time. And unfortunately, we don't have Trevor Horn's own account of this because we probably do in interviews, but not in his autobiography where we could have got his, you know, personal take on it, because his autobiography deliberately stops when his wife died in, I think it was 2004, and he deliberately didn't want to go in any further with that, which is entirely his choice, of course. So a little bit more on this. By the time recording picked up with Horn in the first week of January 2011, the band had discussed Horn's suggestion of expanding We Can Fly into a long-form piece. So yes, as you say, once Horn gets in there, he's such another strong character. It must have been quite something, those band meetings with all those strong characters in there.
Yeah.
So he's decided that, you know, why don't we expand We Can Fly into a whole suite? And Howe said, this is a quote from him, "We couldn't turn that down. It was too good an offer." Interesting. So Oliver Wakeman resisted the idea as the band was midway through recording enough material that they had, and Horn had already agreed to doing. So this resulted in Oliver's songs being scrapped, as we've just said, to make room for the 24-minute, six-part Fly From Here suite. And the band agreed that an album with partial contributions from Horn made little sense, so they enlisted Horn to produce the entire record. And then the worst part of this story, I suppose, from one point of view, during the Christmas break, Wakeman learned that the band had been working with Downes more over time and wanted to bring him in as full-time keyboardist. And so if you want to look at it from that angle, Horn got his friend and writing partner, and someone that he worked with very well, of course, Jeff Downes, back in initially to work on Fly From Here, and then to work on the whole album, essentially, and become a member of the band again. Howe said that as a co-writer of the Fly From Here demos, Downes was better suited to the rest of the album's material. Horn later wrote that he convinced the band to have Downes return as they wrote the song together. Now, to Oliver's immense credit, of course, he agreed to carry on and tour with the band, even though he hadn't been working on the Fly From Here record by this point. You know, and that shows the mark of Oliver as a person, that he would put everything else aside and come back and play live with them. But yes, Downes, they wanted... The idea was that they wanted Jeff Downes back to work on the whole of the Fly From Here album, and then essentially he became in situ keyboard player at the expense of Oliver Wakeman.
Yeah, so, you know, I had to bite my tongue while you were saying half of this stuff, because I was thinking to myself, you know, this proves my point perfectly. You know, they had enough material in, he comes in, has a great idea to expand it. I say that only jokingly, great idea, because while I do like Fly From Here, it's, you know, a decent piece. You know, I love how he just kind of has to go in there and say, by the way, let's just make this into a long piece. And by the way, let's bring Jeff in, because, you know, he helped me write this.
Mm-hmm.
And then, by the way, I think that some of this other material, it just doesn't seem to suit the record now as well, now that we have this long.
Yeah.
You know what? I think this is where, as a producer, he was wrong, because the From a Page material, and I've said this numerous times, people listeners, you can go back and find several episodes of me saying this where I've said that they should have ditched a lot of the material that was on there. That, you know, life on a, what was that? Life on
film
a
set.
Movie yeah. set. They should have tossed that crap. Okay. They should have tossed, you know, this one of the other songs. What was that one that How did there? Listen, there's three songs there. All of From a Page should have been on that album, yeah. and those they could have ditched a lot of the other stuff that Trevor decided to work on. Terrible idea, because I'll still say it now. From a Page, I've listened to From a Page still now to this day dozens of times more than I listened to Five From Here. Way more, because it's better. And I'll say that right now, it is much better. And even though it's not a full length album, those songs are better than those that are on Fly From Here. I don't care what anybody says. So, but you know, it's just, I just find it annoying. Look, this is not, I know we're supposed to be talking about Jeff Downs, but we're seeming to talk about Trevor Horn more here than anything else. But, you know, Jeff is a good keyboard player. I'm not going to say that he isn't. In Asia, he definitely, that's his comfort zone.
Yes.
That stuff. But I still find, though, that in Yes, that he's a little underwhelming for my liking. Mm-hmm. Okay. He doesn't seem to be the kind of, you know, flashy player that Yes needs. I mean, look at the people that were in there before him.
Yeah.
Rick Wakeman, Patrick Mraz, you know, even Igor Koryshev, way better keyboard players in there. And, you know, Tony K is great, but he's mainly, in my eyes, he's always been more a Hammond organ guy than anything else.
Yes.
Right.
Yes. Definitely.
So, but I don't know, like Jeff is good. Mm-hmm. And maybe he's a great writer, but I mean, the last couple of albums that Yes have done have been underwhelming from a Jeff Downs input, in my opinion, and performance-wise too, especially A Mirror to the Sky.
Yeah, fascinating and totally reasonable points of view, I think. And just a word on From a Page, I do think those songs on there, how can I put it, sound more like Yes, or sound more like perhaps the kind of Yes that I would like to hear than Fly From Here does. Even though I do really like Fly From Here as an album, I think it works well as an album, but maybe it's not that sort of indefinable Yesness that you need or want from the band at that time, certainly. So I would have loved to have seen that version of the band with Oliver complete that album at the time. Yeah. All right. So, yes, it's fascinating, isn't it, that we've talked a lot about Trevor Horn, and we have to, because a lot of the reason, I think, why Yes did want Jeff Downs back was down to Trevor Horn, was down to Steve Howe, because he knew him and liked him, so working with him so well from all the years of Asia. And that gives us a link onto the previous work of Jeff Downs, as we always do in these part two of these episodes. We always go into to look at what has been done most recently by the person we're talking about, and this time it's Jeff Downs. And what we're going to look at is an album called Raised in Captivity by John Wetton. It's not one I've heard of at all, or heard at all, but I was particularly interested in this because it came around the time when Jeff Downs was getting back involved with Yes again, 2011, released on the 1st of July, 2011, this one, and particularly because it has a lot of people on the album that we know rather well, and it was produced and written, co-written by Billy Sherwood, so it couldn't be more more deeply connected with Yes if it tries, with Downs, with Sherwood on there, with Eddie Jobson on there, Tony Kaye on there, and all sorts of other people. Is this a record that you know, Mark?
This is a record I do not know. Having done a sort of deep dive one time, I fell into this rabbit hole of looking through Asia stuff, because I think I was buying one of their records off of Discogs, and then all of a sudden I realized that they had an extensive catalog of albums, and then they had this little split where there were two Asias, where there was a different guy singing bass and guitar and vocals.
Yeah.
And then I was like, so I kind of tried to follow both ends of the spectrum, and then I ended up finding these albums, the Raised in Captivity and other ones, but I've never actually heard them, but I'm aware of them, like, you know, that there's a, you know, a lot of people working on them. It's sort of a Billy Sherwood extravaganza,
Yeah. It certainly is. And Billy plays guitars, drums, and percussion. And, yes. You know, quite apart from co-writing all the material and producing the album. So it really is very much a Billy Sherwood affair with the great late John Wetton on there. And Jeff Downes always talks very compassionately and affectionately of John Wetton, of course, because of all the work that he did with him. So we've got Jeff Downes actually keyboard on only two of these songs, but that's not the point. This is what he was doing just before rejoining Yes. One called Goodbye Elsinore. That's Lord of the Rings, isn't it? And Steffi's Ring. So maybe there's some kind of fantasy element in this, and certainly the album artwork looks pretty fantasy-based. Yes. with some kind of eagle and something strange going on anyway. and yes, lost for words, raised in captivity, the devil and the opera house, all sorts of exciting names of the songs anyway. And, you know, as I've already said, Eddie Jobson turning up a violin on the devil and the opera house. Steve Hackett is on there as well. Mick Box, not a name immediately jumps out at me. So Mariah Heap, he's from, who else? Alex Matchacek. Again, I'm sorry, I'm not quite sure who he is. I'm just going to click on that. He's a jazz fusion guitarist, so that could be interesting. And Steve Morse, guitar on Lost for Words, and various other people as well. So,
well, Anik also is from The Gathering, which is a pretty popular European sort of, I don't know if I've called them melodic metal, or they were sort,
right.
She's like sort, yeah. of, but she's a very well-known vocalist and very well-respected.
Yes. Yes, you're right, actually. I recognise that name. So, yes, lots of people on here, just like one of those Billy Prog Collective albums in a way, but maybe tending a bit more towards sort of fusion and heaviness. Who knows? Who knows? Hmm. But certainly that'll be very interesting to listen to. So we're going to come back in 2 weeks with our thoughts on this album. Do have your say on what you thought about, well, not Oliver Wakeman's exit particularly, although of course you can say whatever you like about that, but certainly about the return of Jeff Downes. What did you think about that at the time? What do you think about it now? And do you know Raised in Captivity, this John Wetton album? I look forward to speaking to you about that next time, Mark.
Yes, looking forward to it very much.